I'm going to be in John 15 this morning, and actually, I'm going to read it to you. And I'd like, if you feel comfortable, I'd like you to actually to close your eyes and hear the scripture. If you don't feel comfortable, maybe find a place to just kind of stare and really hear what's being said. And if you just want to look here at me, feel free. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. You may open your eyes. Anyone? You want to? So that was John 15, verses 1 through 17. And I wanted to do it that way because Christ here is speaking to the disciples. And in the same regard, I wanted to more personalize that as y'all received it and more just kind of focus on what is the word that he's speaking to them, that he's in turn speaking to us. And I had come to this passage probably about 2 months ago or something like that. And as I read through it, there was different people in our life and different things that I was hearing about, where I was hearing the struggles of other Christians that were discouraged, that they were falling into sinful behavior patterns. And as I was reading through this, I was like, it's so simple. The struggles that they're going through, all this could be very, very much fixed in their lives if they would just remain. Over and over, the idea of remaining in Christ is repeated throughout those scriptures. And yet, while I know that to be the case, I also know the difficulty with the distractions and the temptations that we have in this world, our own flesh, and the way that our enemy comes against us. The thing that I think that we have to question, though, is do we make peace with these things? Do we give them dominion over us? And verse 6, if someone will read it, I think makes it very clear what our lives will look like if we move forward with Christ not a part of that. Somebody read that?
Number 6?
Uh-huh.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
Over the course of, because I can speak to this in my own life, over the course of the last month, 2 months, by a show of hands, has anyone withered? Has anyone in here not remained in Christ the way that you should have?
No.
Okay. I know this to be true for myself because everything that we've been going through with Nelson, as I said, I read this passage several months before all this situation happened. At that time, I was in a place where my focus was daily on Christ the way it needed to be. I was pursuing Him. I was spending time with Him. And so when I read through the scripture, I don't really take it into my own life as far as where I'm at, what I need to do, all these necessary things. I more apply it to the things that I see happening around me. But yet, I ultimately become that same person that needs this word spoken over and needs to see these things properly for what they are. When Sarah contacted me on August 7th, that I needed to gather the kids and bring them up to the hospital because Nelson was dying, or looked like he was dying, however it was exactly presented. It was kind of a, you know, you don't have much time to really think through how to feel or how to react. It was just, okay, like, we've got to go. And I had to go into the kids and break the news and try to delicately express what the reality was that I was being told, and explain the value of why we needed to go. As we came to the hospital and came into his room, there's no doubt in my mind that the man was dying. I mean, it was very clear. We had taken care, Sarah and I had, of Sarah's grandfather, Nelson's father, in his last days, and he actually died in our care, sort of, you know, the natural causes, essentially. But having seen death physically, having seen the color removed from your skin as the body is losing the spirit, essentially, it's something that I can't forget, really. So walking into that hospital room and seeing Nelson and seeing this weakened man, seeing his skin color, just the life just evaporating from him, it was, again, a very difficult thing to process because of just the quickness of everything that we were coming into the situation. Trying to figure out how to be in that moment and comfort my family, be supportive to Mary, to my brothers-in-law, and at the same time, you know, seeking God to heal Nelson, to be there with us in that moment, to comfort our hurt. You know, I can't say that I had a, oh, I should do this, and this is the result of that. There was no time to figure out all of the emotional things that were taking place. And when the decision was made that they were going to need to fly him from Flower Mound to Denton, we ended up leaving, heading up to the Denton Hospital. And while everyone else is more believing for Nelson's healing, I had to be real in the moment, had to think about, well, what does this mean if he doesn't make it? What does this mean as far as my responsibilities to the family, to the business? And I had to start thinking through, what will my role be? Because I don't know what will happen. And so how will I aid my family, aid my mother-in-law, aid our business in stepping into this role if this does happen? rather than being focused on the idea of he's going to be all right and God can do all these things, I had to think about what will be my tomorrow. And that's not to say that I didn't want God to heal him. That's not to say that I didn't believe God could heal him. But it was to say that I was at a different place as far as my responsibility to the situation. And the whole entirety of the situation was very much a roller coaster as far as thinking, okay, things are a little bit more stabilized, and all of a sudden we're losing him again. And then we're back, and it just the constantness of it was so draining emotionally. Moving forward, we're so grateful for the church's support, your prayers, the things that have been done for us as a family, my father-in-law and mother-in-law as a family. I really appreciate all of y'all, and even those that are not here, it has been such a blessing to have y'all step up and be supportive and be encouraging as things were just up and down on our little roller coaster ride. On my end, though, I found myself very quickly in a place where I now had to manage a business that I have been a part of in various forms for essentially 20 years. And I'm thankful that my father-in-law saw it to bring me up underneath him, to learn the different operational things that were needed. And yet there was many things that while I've been exposed to, I didn't necessarily have the hands-on knowledge of how to make them work. And it was extremely stressful to then now be in this place, have this burden of, I have to be the one doing this. I have to manage these things. And in that regard, that's what it became for me. I have to do it. The focus that I had had previous to this of looking to Christ, being dependent upon him, I now was not in that situation any longer. I took on the burden of this completely, and the amount of time that was necessary to be figuring out the things that I had to do for the job, to manage different people, the different aspects of juggling, the finances, of figuring out how do all these things work together, being responsible to all my different employees to make sure that they're making money themselves, and working with the accounts that were part of that month and then part of the new accounts that were coming in, trying to juggle all those different things ultimately became very overwhelming. And there's many ways that during this period, I was withering. And ultimately, what I want to communicate here is, one, to acknowledge my own faults, to say, like, while I can sit here and teach this to y'all and talk about what the Word says and what our lives should look like, the reality is I'm just as much a fallen man as any one of us here that has difficulties with being distracted rather than walking with God the way that we should, falling into temptation, not pursuing Christ the way that I should. And so what I would communicate to y'all is the necessity of us remaining. And as much as the first part of these verses make it very clear how we must remain in Christ, it also lifts up the idea towards the end of these verses about loving others. And for me, the fact that the scriptures make a distinction with our relationships to one another also shows me another way that I've failed in this regard. And it's not just this idea of that I've not just remained the way that I should, but I've also not pursued the relationship of my brothers and sisters in the course of the stress and the burden and the emotional roller coaster to confess that and seek companionship or encouragement and things like that. And I think that that's something that we have to each balance in our walk with Christ, is the need to pursue Christ and to remain in Him, but also to depend upon one another and to not just be focused on ourselves. I'm thankful that over the course of these month and a half or so now, that while I've gone through periods of withering, I've also clearly recognized my need to get back to my source constantly. That I didn't just get caught up in everything to where I did wither away, but seeing my failure, seeing the things in which I allowed the situation to consume me, it has over and over communicated to me my need to be in Christ. And so there's one aspect of, for each one of us, if there are areas in your life that maybe you've not withered away, but you're withering, I would suggest to you that you really need to make sure that you're remaining in Christ. Make sure that He is your everything in that. And at the same time, you know, I know that separate from our own walks that we have, there's going to be people that we encounter that, and maybe even us, maybe we struggle. We struggle with the idea of, am I in Christ? Or maybe it is other people that we meet, and maybe they don't know Christ, maybe they're unsure. And so I wanted to point it out, just a few verses here that really give a specific understanding of how we can know that we are in Christ, or how that we can direct others to when they are questioning, when they are doubting. And so if you'll look at verse 2, the end part of that says, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Pruning is not necessarily something that each one of us wants to go through because it's not fun. It doesn't feel good to be in those situations where God is making us more like Him. But at the same time, on the other side of all of that, it's amazing then in turn what God has done in our life, and then the recognition that we would not be who we are if it was not for what He has done. So I would point out, number one, that for ourselves or for others, like, part of this walk is being pruned, is coming to the recognition that I need Christ, and that in those weaknesses that He's going to have to break some of that junk off my life and change me so that I do reflect who He is. In verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. So again, this idea of remaining, if we are being distracted, if we are pursuing the things of the world or the things of our flesh, then there should be some concern there as far as, are we remaining? And it should be something that then in turn we associate what our life should look like, because there shouldn't be those distractions that are pulling us away. And it also says, if He's in us, we will bear much fruit. And so there's that, as we're being pruned and as we are going through this walk, to me there's that comfort in knowing that how God will operate through me and what He'll accomplish. Verse 10, if you keep My commands, you will remain in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commands and remain in His love. We have to keep His commands. It's not a matter of, I'm going to do some of these things, and I'll kind of do this other thing over here. We have to keep his commands. If we're keeping his commands, we can trust in the fact, we can rely on the fact that we are in Christ. And for those that are struggling and are not in that place, we can direct them to this idea. If they're struggling, are you keeping his commands? It's a way to point them to God and draw them closer. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It doesn't mean that life is going to be without its faults and difficulties. And even having been through this situation with Nelson, it's not that despite all the negativities that we initially faced and that then in turn I had to deal with trying to figure out within the business, the reality is that there has been joy. There's been joy as far as the way that we've come together as a family. There's been joy knowing that God is in control regardless of what we see in the situation. There's been joy in the celebration that we've had as far as in family and friends during this. And then in turn, the way that God has chosen to continue to operate in Nelson's life, strengthening him and bringing him back. My life, our lives are not defeated despite the fact that there have been difficult situations that we've had to deal with. There still is a joy there because of being in Christ. In verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. If we do not have love for one another, we really should question as far as where we are in Christ for the person that we're trying to more mentor and point them to Christ. It's something that we have to have. There has to be a love for one another. But the awesome thing is that regardless of what my situation has been or what your situation has been, God is merciful and he's gracious to each one of us. Because of his goodness, there is always that opportunity to step back into being part of him, being whole in him, rather than getting lost in our situations. So this morning, I pray that as we will face difficulties in our lives, as we will come into situations that are just completely out of our control, we won't lean upon our own strength. We will look to God, and in turn, we will reach out to our church family to have that support and encouragement so that we can move forward through our difficulties. Let's pray.